Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. After Paul had proved to the Jews in the synagogue at Corinth that Jesus was the Christ and had been rather rudely treated, he left the synagogue and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. Acts 18:7. The Jews in the synagogue at Corinth resisted Paul's preaching and even blasphemed. Acts 18:6. Paul may have left the synagogue for his own protection. He found refuge in the house of a man named Justus. Some manuscripts identify him as Titius Justus. He was a God-fearer. This is evident from the fact that he worshipped God. Among the Gentiles, there were probably many God-fearers like Cornelius, who worshipped God even though they were not proselytes. Justus lived next door to the synagogue, which may explain where he learned about God. Most of the Jews at Corinth rejected Paul's teaching about Jesus as the Messiah. But Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Acts 18:8. So far as I have been able to discern, secular history does not mention Crispus. But we know from the divine record that he was the chief ruler of the synagogue. How do you suppose the rest of the Jews in Corinth reacted to the conversion of the chief ruler of the synagogue? We do not know, but we do know that Crispus and some in his household believed on the Lord. Does that not prove that men are saved by just believing? There are two major problems with that conclusion. Crispus was one of the people at Corinth whom Paul personally baptized. I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say I had baptized in my own name. 1 Corinthians 1:14-15. Crispus was baptized to complete his obedience to the Lord, as every person must be. In addition, those Gentiles who heard the word of the Lord believed and were baptized into Christ. Was there a different plan of salvation for Crispus than for the other Corinthians? You know the answer to that question. All who want to be saved must be saved in the same way: faith in Jesus Christ and obedience to the gospel plan of salvation. That plan always involves being baptized for the remission of sins. Jesus commanded his apostles, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned." Mark 16:15-16. Is that what occurred at Corinth? That certainly is what the inspired record tells us. Many of the Corinthians listened, believed, and were baptized. But is baptism absolutely necessary for men and women to enjoy the remission of sins? It is if Peter meant what he told the believing Jews on the day of Pentecost: "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 2:38. If language has any meaning at all, you know penitent believers have to be baptized for the remission of their sin. What did Ananias tell Saul he had to do to be saved? "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Acts 22:16. No one was saved in the first century of the Christian era without being baptized. No one can be saved today without being baptized. Am I willing to defend that proposition? Absolutely. Oddly enough, one of England's greatest conservative scholars, the late Dr. F.F. Bruce, says in his commentary on the book of Acts that Paul had to get himself baptized as an outward sign of his inward and spiritual cleansing from sin. Page 418. There is a problem with Dr. Bruce's comment. It is the exact opposite of what the Scriptures teach. Thank you, and may God bless you.